You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Oh, it's like the pastor says, you can be too smart to get it. But I just want to get it. I don't care if it's smart or dumb. But last Sunday, I taught in a Sunday school class. I taught on how to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. That's not what I'm going to continue tonight. I sure toyed with that. I almost did it. But we spoke on how to be led by the Spirit, that we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. And we talked about the spirit was saved, or the spirit was what got born again. The soul was your intelligence, which needs to be renewed every day. And then we have a body that we live in. And with that body, we have attacks on it. Then we talked about the inner being. We talked about the inner voice. And then we talked about the Holy Ghost. And those things, which I won't go into detail on because it just takes too much time, but those things will lead you by the Spirit. Because the Bible says that our spirit bears witness with His Spirit. And if our spirit bears witness with His Spirit, we're led by that Spirit, and then we can be led to do whatever God's got for us. But in studying for that, there was a scripture that I spoke on Sunday morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new." And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to take that apart a little bit tonight. But before we do, one of the things that I was thinking about is my prayer life. Now, when I preach up here, I'm just like our pastor. You know, I'm preaching to myself or I'm teaching to myself. It's not, you know, if it hits you, fine. But it's really something that I need to be dealing with. But what I wanted to, what I was thinking about was prayer. You know, when I go to pray and I go in prayer, you know, I go for one reason, to get my needs met. Now, I do praise and I do worship Him, but I'm talking about when I kneel down at the foot of my bed, or I get off somewhere where I can just spend some time with God, and I pray for certain situations to happen in my life. And sometimes there's a problem with that. Anybody else ever experienced that? In praying, and it seems like there's a cap right over your head and you can't get much further than that. Sometimes it may not even get out of your head. Because of the time that it gets started, here comes Slewfoot, here comes the devil trying to steal the word and trying to keep you down. But it says the prayer problem is a problem of faith, guys. When we go into our closet or we go into our prayer room, and we pray to God, if we don't get results, it's a faith problem. And the faith is a problem of the integrity of the ability of God to stand behind His promises or the statements of the facts of the Word. Let me read that again. And faith is a problem of the integrity of the ability of God to stand behind His promises or the statements of fact in the Word. We look for integrity in everybody, don't we? Whatever, we're, if we're doing business with someone, we want to see what their credibility, what their integrity is. If we go to get a contract, a contractor to come out and do some work for you, we want to find out how credible that person is. We want to know what his word is. We want to know what the integrity of his word is. Faith is realizing that God has the ability to do what he said he would do, and he will stand behind the promises and the statements of the fact that his word has said. And if we know that, and when we go to our prayer room to pray, then we know that what we petition him will come to pass. But we have got to know what the word says. We've got to have the word in our heart. We've got to have the word in our mind. We've got to be totally led by the Spirit, and we've got to know that the word of God will work, and that we go into that prayer room, or we go into the throne room of grace, and we know it's going to happen. We cannot know that unless we know the Word of God. There's another side to this problem. It is the ability of the believer to stand in the Father's presence without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. Many times we go to pray and we go before God in the presence of the Lord, and we have got a bag full of problems here. The devil's going to tell you that you're not worthy to come to in the presence of God. The devil's going to tell you that you don't fit. He'll bring up your past. He'll bring up things that you have been already redeemed from. He'll bring up things that you've already been set free from. He'll bring up your past. He'll bring up guilt. He'll bring up condemnation. And there we go. Then there goes our faith. There goes our belief in what the Word of God says. The real question then is after we know that the Word cannot be broken. Now listen to this. If after we know that the Word of God cannot be broken, and that God keeps it to the very letter, the question is, have I a right to stand in the Father's presence and make my petitions known to him without condemnation? Do I have that right? We're going to go through that. Here are a few things that every believer should know. In that verse it says, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, if any man is in Christ, he's born again. If you're not born again, you're not in Christ. You're not a believer. You are not born again, you're not in Christ. That we are actually new creations created in Christ Jesus. We're new creatures. We're a new creation. There's a new spirit that's been born inside of us that gives us eternal life. We are made in the likeness of God. Over in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our own image after his likeness. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. So if we're made in the likeness of God, if we have the life of God, and we take on the nature of God, then we should be like God. I didn't say we need to be God. I said we should be like God. We should have the nature of God. We should have the likeness of God. We should do the things that God would do, right? The nature of God is, and this is only a few, He's compassionate. God is love. Now, when I started going through these and writing these down, I said, am I this? Am I that? And I had some questions on some of them. Confident. God is confident that anything is possible. He's in perfect health. He's steadfast. He is strong in the faith of his word. He's bold. He's not ashamed. He's prosperous. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and the place where he lives is solid gold. He wants us to have that. He wants us to experience that. He's fearless. Heard a sermon one time, I ain't scared. That guy, I wish he'd come preach this here. I'll tell you what, he kicked off his shoes and big old boy kicked off his shoes over there and run barefoot all over that place, but he could preach. I ain't scared. He was in a Baptist church too. I liked it. God bless the Baptists. Then he says in that verse, he says, old things, not old people, old things have passed away. If they've passed away, then that means they have experienced a spiritual death. Dead to our sins. Old things have passed away. Our union with Satan and our old sins are dead. The sin committed while we were spiritually in union with the adversary, they are remitted. Done away with. The old self, the old man stops being. He's not there anymore. He is dead. He's been separated from sin. The old man cannot live in Christ. The problem with a lot of us as Christians, when we were saved, and when we were born again, some of the problems that we have dealt with is not turning loose of those old things, not understanding that they are not there anymore. Don't let Satan keep reminding you of your past. As a preacher says, keep reminding him of his future. Tell him where he's going, where he's been. We have authority over him. He has no presence in our life. He has absolutely no authority in our life. He has no reason whatsoever to do anything to us unless we allow it to happen. Because the old things have passed away. We have become new. So if the old has passed away, it has been replaced with the new, right? Yes, amen. All things have become new. Now listen to this. All things. Your body is a new body. It may not look that way, but it is. Your mind is a new mind because it's been renewed. Your spirit is the spirit of the Lord. It bears witness with Him. We now communicate with each other with our spirits. I can now be led by His Spirit, not be led by my spirit, or be led by my feelings, or my body, or by my mind. I could be led by His. And we have some things to do. One of those things is renewing the mind. The renewing of the mind is renewing the mind through the Word of God. We take the Word of God and we put it into our minds, into our hearts, into our minds, and we renew that, or we restore it from what it was before. We take it from the old condition to the new. When we restore cars, we restore them back to their original. If we want to do the original restore, we restore it back to the original condition, as it was when it came off the showroom floor. So Jesus is saying, okay, now that sin has come into the world, I have provided a way on this scripture right here. If any man be in Christ, if you've been born again, you're a new creature. Old things that you have been dealing with have gone. They're passed away. They're not here anymore. So don't even think about them. Don't even go there with that. And then I'm going to give you some new things. The new creation becomes the product of God. God don't make any junk, in case you didn't know. I haven't seen anything that God has made that's junk. I haven't seen any person that is made that's junk. God made them perfect. God made them to what He wanted them to be, after His image, after His likeness, after His nature. But that was turned back over to Satan in the Garden of Eden, and we've had to fight this from then to now. I'll get that right. But God, Jesus did it. Jesus came so that we could be a new creation, so we could be a new creature. They could not do that until Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary and defeated Satan and made that possible for us to be a new creature, for us to be in Him. We're going somewhere with this thing, guys. It is created, all things, the new things, is created in Christ Jesus. It is born from above. It is born of the Holy Spirit through the Word. And that new thing, it says all things. So whatever that new thing is, stands uncondemned and reconciled before the Father. When He got rid of the old, He brought in the new. All the new things stand before God without condemnation, without guilt, without any blame, reconciled. What does reconciliation mean? Set free, clear, cleaned. The file has been purged. Wow. Who did that? Jesus did that. Jesus did that for us. The moment we become new creations, we become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God means the ability to stand in the Father's presence without the sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. Righteousness is right standing with God. Then we know we have the ability to stand in God's presence free from all sense of unworthiness. You can walk into that throne room of God. You can go into His presence knowing that the Word is true, that it's God's Word. God's Word is true to the letter. It doesn't change, never has changed, and never will change. It will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can count on that. You can go to the bank on. You can walk into that throne room or into God's presence and said, God, remember our pastor been preaching on remind him of His Word, that this is what He has provided for you in the promise. It has not changed. It never will change. And God, I am petitioning this for you right now, for me right now, because You said it in Your Word. I believe Your Word. Your Word does not change, and I have that for myself. It's mine. It belongs to me. Take authority of it. Take a hold of it. It's yours. I don't care what the devil tells you. It says that he's up there accusing the brethren. Well, let him accuse. We have authority over him. Did you realize that the demons know that a child of God that has been set free, a child of God that has been reborn or been recreated or has been born again, that his spirit bears witness with God's spirit? Don't you know the demons know that you are their masters? Did you know that? They know that, but you know what? They're going to try to destroy your testimony. They're going to try to destroy your witness. They're going to try to destroy what you're trying to do because they think you don't know. See, they think we're a bunch of dummies. But when you're in the Word, and when you're in the Word, when you're in this Word right here, when you're in this Word right here, the Word of God tells you exactly how to live. It tells you how to be led by the Spirit. It tells you how to live your life on a daily basis. It tells you how that you can receive the things that God has promised you, and you can do it with confidence. You can do it with knowing and knowledge that it's going to happen. You know, they must think that because that we walk around in a body, a suit, that we don't have the knowledge right here to know that they're losers. And you know what? There's a lot of people that falls in that condition. There's a lot of people that get saved, but they never spend the time in the Word of God. They never spend the time in prayer. They never spend the time in the presence of God, reminding Him that He has provided this for you. All we do is we go in pleading, begging, sobbing, crying. Oh God, would you please help me do this? You don't have to do that. You go in and remind Him that He has promised it to you. Remind Him that you are healed, Brother Reamer, in the name of Jesus, because He provided that for you. And the manifestation has got to come because His Word is true as long as you believe on it. I don't care what Satan says. He's a liar. He's a liar. He doesn't tell the truth. All He's going to try to do is deceive you. He's going to make you think it's okay. He's going to make you think it's not going to happen. If He can get into your mind, you know how He gets in your mind? When you don't renew it. God's Word is a catalyst for stamping out the devil, sin, and those little voices that are not God's voices. That's trying to tell you some things that you need to be doing when you know better.
That's good. Amen. That's right.
See, if you'll stay in tune with God, God will lead you down the path of righteousness. He will lead you down the path of holiness. He will lead you down the path of success in your life. He won't let you stay. But you know what? We've got to be strong. We have got to be strong in faith. We don't have to build up faith. All we got to do is know that God's Word works. That's what He said there. It's not building up something. It's not getting ourselves worked up to get something done. You don't have to do that. It kind of reminds me of the place where I used to work. I had a boss. And his door was open most of the time. I could go in and I could talk to him. And we could sit down and go through things. But a lot of times, sometimes the door would be closed. He'd either be meditating on something, be working on something. But I always figured that if he allowed me to come in, I didn't have to knock on the door. The door was open. I could walk in. I could sit down and I could tell him anything I wanted to tell him. I could explain to him. And he would sit there and listen to me. And there's been many times that I've reminded him of what he had told me maybe 6 months ago when they told me I was going to get a raise. And it come raise time and it wasn't quite there. I said, whoa, what happened? That's not what you promised me. Oh, God didn't do that. When God said it, He promised it to you, it's there. We have a legal right, folks. We have a right in the Father's presence because we are legally born to His family. When you bring a child into your family, they are legally yours, and they are legally subjected to, or what's yours is theirs. They have a right. We as Christians have legally been adopted and is accepted as sons and daughters. You know what that means? If you've legally been accepted into a family, that means that you have the rights. And I know in this day and time we hear a whole lot about rights. Some of it is wrong. Some of it is correct. But we hear a lot about rights. Well, we have a right as a Christian to go into the presence of God the Father and petition to Him His promises. And we know that they'll be taken care of. The Holy Spirit Himself, in Romans 8:16 says, the Holy Spirit Himself has borne witness with our spirits. We are the children of God. We also have a legal right to use Jesus' name, and whatsoever we ask the Father in that name, He will give it to us. I know that we hear that a lot around here. We're a word church, so why wouldn't we hear it? But it's true. We have a legal right to the things that God has promised us through the name of Jesus to be able to get that which He has provided for us. Ephesians 1:3 said, blessed be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. We need to take, here's what we need to do. We need to take our place and enjoy our rights as a believer. If you have rights, whether it be in your own family or rights as a voter, or the right as living here in the state of Texas, you have certain rights. We should take our place on those and enjoy them as a believer. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Everything that was done in the finished work of Christ belongs to us. Everything that was done in the finished work of Christ belongs to us. We have inherited that. He has provided for us. We must simply take our place and use our rights and use them religiously. Use them every day, every time we need a situation. You know, a lot of times, as I said a while ago, we have a problem. And what we'll do is we'll try to find somebody that'll pray and sob and cry and do the same thing we're doing. I'm not saying we shouldn't have somebody to bear witness with. I'm not saying we shouldn't have somebody to agree with us. But we don't need to do that. We just need to walk into His presence and say, God, here I am. And this is what I've got. And I'm believing You for it because that's what Your Word says. And then on this day, it has been done, and I thank Him for it. All our struggling to get faith has been the result of ignorance of what belonged to us. We know what belonged to us. If you don't know what belongs to you, you can't go out there and ask Him for it. If you don't know what you've been given, and you don't know what's available to you, you can't go out there and get it. Satan was defeated before Jesus was raised from the dead. Everything Jesus did is accredited to us. The entire work of Christ was for us. He didn't conquer Satan for himself. He didn't put away sin for himself. We have eternal victory. So Satan is now a defeated enemy. As I said a while ago, he was defeated on the cross of Calvary. We war not against humans. We war not against flesh. I know sometimes we think we do. Somebody gets a little cranky with us, or somebody says something wrong, or we get a little chip on our shoulder, and we think it's a war against that person. Well, it's not a war against that person. It's against the demons of hell. It's against Satan himself, who know that we are, in Jesus' name, their masters, as I said earlier. The demons know that. You are the recreated one. They rule by bluff and deception. They put diseases upon us and holds us bondage through our ignorance of what we are in Christ and what belongs to us. Folks, Jesus has provided a way and a means for us to have success in everything we do. We can be healed. We can walk uprightly. We can walk strong. We can tell the devil that he has absolutely no place in our life. He is defeated foe. Demons, we are your master. You need to understand that through the name of Jesus. They have to flee. We can cast them out of human beings. Those demons have absolutely no place in our life as a Christian. And we need to understand that. And once we understand that, and once we understand who we are in Christ, we understand what we are in Christ, and we understand where we can get what belongs to us in Christ, then we'll be a much stronger Christian. We will have the things in which we are petitioning God for. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. Boy, and I'll tell you what, this is, it's hallelujah. Amen. We have victory. We have victory. And I'm expecting to see those blue cards that Chris put out the other night. I'm expecting to see some results from those. That people are going to take those from the victories that somebody else has had, and they're going to take those and they're going to remind God that you are not that Fred just wasn't somebody special, that I can have the same thing that Fred had. You see what I'm saying? God doesn't treat any one of us any sweeter than other. It's for you just like it is for those people. So I'm expecting some great things from those blue cards. Hallelujah. We're going to dismiss with a song, or are you just going to? Okay, well, the pastor will be back Wednesday night. God bless you and thank you for coming tonight. Feed your faith. Starve your doubts to death and let them out. Brother, get a hold of that thing. I can do it with one hand.